This is CliffCentral.com.
Beautiful song. Johnny Clegg and at that stage Savuka and Great Heart. There's so many songs, it's hard to... I did something super cheesy yesterday because I heard the news when I was at the gym and I kind of didn't want to carry on training and I got in the car and I put on his song, which I know is so cheesy because it's what people...
Why? It's what you do.
Well, it's what people do, but I just felt stupid about it, but only for about 2 seconds, and then I was into the song and I was kind of emotional about it.
Well,
was
it that one? Join the cheesy train, because I did that yesterday.
Yeah.
And the last time he was here, he handed out his CDs. When last did you listen to a CD?
You did it
yesterday. This morning, wow. I popped it into my car and I was listening to it on the way here.
You know, they do have it on the streaming platforms as well. Like, yeah. It's nice to have a CD, but you can just... It's not only
it's
on
not,
the CD.
It's just not the
it's
same.
Escaped the CD and it lives in other places now.
What?
Yeah.
We'll talk about Johnny in a little while, and we'll have Zolani, who we've had on the show a number of times, and Majozi and a bunch of other people who worked with him. It's so weird that Jesse Clegg was going to be our guest today.
Yeah, man.
Entirely by
chance.
And
he's such a mensch. I just like, quickly just to touch on it again, it's one of the greatest credits to him is how normal and lovely of a family he's got, and how his kid, who's also now famous in his own right and very successful as a musician, is still just a normal dude with no bullshit about him whatsoever. Mm. And that for me is it's one thing to raise a family that turn out good and cool. It's another thing to do it when you're a global superstar.
And that he was. He was a top African ambassador. There are no words, Ish, says Ruth. And I used to be a non-believer. I was under a lot of pressure and stress from my master's and trying to serve a 4-year relationship. That was from doing a master's degree. Not she or he didn't have master's, as in... The master's.
Yeah, I was starting to think like you should have called Dimena. Khaleesi. She used to help with that back
right.
in the day.
I went to therapy in the beginning of the year and just opened up because I want to keep my problems to myself, because I'm always trying to solve external problems. I had mad anxiety. I'm talking about running out of breath when I have to step into an elevator and having panic attacks in the bus on the way home.
That shit is real for a lot of people, man.
Turns out the main source of my anxiety was being in a relationship. I was fighting for... the relationship with my partner then wasn't putting in the work. We broke it off, and I kid you not, a week later I started to feel normal. I kept on going to therapy a couple of weeks after that, and today I feel way better. Therapy works, yo.
Yeah, completely. And you know what else on that? Like, I've bored people to death about my relationship vibes in the past, but I was in a difficult relationship that didn't work out, and you don't realize how much that is affecting your general happiness and your ability to cope, because you're putting in so much effort wanting to make it right, because you believe that that person is good and you need to do not to say that they're evil by corollary, mm-hmm. but you believe that they are worth the effort and the difficulty and not the cause of it. Like, you know, this is I don't know how to put it into concise terms, but this is a goal or a reward worth suffering for.
Right.
And not actually the cause of the suffering. And you do feel a lot better. It's sometimes hard, is the point that I'm making, to see the, in retrospect, often obvious big thing that's fucking you up. And therapy helps with that a lot.
Yeah, you sometimes need an objective voice
exactly.
who isn't emotionally involved with you. That's the whole reason that this works.
Precisely.
There's some very funny stuff, apart from the Face app, which, by the way, a lot of people are nervous about, because Face app owns all of those images. And
get the right one. There have been apps that will age you and change your face for a long time. You need Face app, specifically.
But there are people who are saying, oh, well, you know, this is just another way they're going to get your image and
use
your
image. They've got you already.
Yeah, your image
use
is somewhere.
Use no technology at all and go and be Amish. Or just forget your face is on
Give
record.
On
your biometrics are on record. Deal with it.
Correct.
Don't be a pedophile. There you'll be fine.
All right. So here's something funny that someone put up. There's this Arab dude who sings the Aladdin song. Have you seen it?
From the new movie. The actor.
Yeah. No, it's not him.
Oh, no.
I was going to say he's English.
Listen to his version. Listen to this. This is absolutely hilarious. All right. Tell where whether
he's taking the piss or if he's trying to do it justice.
There's a lot of singers in Arabic actually sound like that.
And that's normal to that audience.
Can I hear just a bit of it again?
You want to hear some more? You want more?
He's enjoying this whole new world.
Give me some more. Fine.
What makes it better are the graphics in the video.
I was going to point that out, yeah. It's Tell him what he's doing. Hey, just freestyling that part.
And of course, he can't pronounce anything right either. So
swining, swinnering, swended.
He's standing in front of some bad.
Yeah, it's a very bad CGI.
But I mean, to people in the,
on a carpet.
Yeah, to people in the Arabic world, maybe like the same way Arabic music or Indian music or music from a different culture often sounds not like bad, but very different.
Yeah,
very,
does this sound
very unfamiliar?
Does this sound really good?
Like regular Western pop music might sound funny as hell.
Yeah.
To Arabic people, and he's kind of made it like. I remember this melody from some weird-sounding English-speaking world music, and now this is an accessible version that I quite like. Just reminds me of that, one of the very first viral videos.
I don't buy that.
You think
it might come as a shock to you, but I'm no expert in Arabic music.
Funny that.
But I'd be able to say that doesn't
sound. We have our own versions of these kinds of things, and we get embarrassed about them, like I suppose some people would be embarrassed about that dude. You know, a lot of it comes from Boxburg.
There was an Oak on Idols, and I'll never forget, and this has been a part of like the upfront lexicon of my frame of reference in my life since. A dude that was on Idols in the early stage auditions that sang, "I believe I can fly."
Oh.
And I was like, "I believe I can fly."
There we go.
And it's like, dude, you needed a friend. And he had this sincerity, like he was, when he finished, he looked at the judges like, cool, like, there you are, like, where do I go to? Where's the winner's place?
I believe I can fly.
I believe I'm can touching sky. I'm thinking about it in the night and day.
Yes.
Splitting their wings, I'm fly away.
I don't know who he is, but I support him already.
He couldn't hold the tune. Even I'm chocking at singing, and I'm three divisions above this. Like. But the first proper viral internet video is what that whole new world reminds me of is Ken Lee.
Yes.
The woman who sang Ken Lee Talibudi without you. Right. It's funny shit when people get lyrics
wrong. Here's a guy though. I don't know whether these people are for real, and I would assume they are because they look severely inbred. Okay, you know, Boxburg's got some specials.
I just glance at bread and I'm happy with what I see usually.
Holy
I don't
hell.
Look severely.
So these are two guys and they're in a car and they've souped up their car. So there's a guy who's addressing the camera whose name we don't know, and then there's his friend Jason.
Yeah. Jason.
All right. And
probably JJ to his mates.
You just gotta listen to this. It is I wanna put people like this in formaldehyde and study them. I love this. But it's very Boxburg, all right? You ready?
Akin Jason! Say hello, Jason!
Hello!
Hello! Hi, drunk! Signala! Okay! No! Wachot! Button clutch!
Button clutch!
What does that mean?
I don't know!
Twin turbo!
I don't know!
C20 XE motor!
I don't know what any of this is!
Games! Nee? Net a ref counter! And a petrol gauge and a heat gauge!
Now, I don't know any of that stuff about what that means in a car, but this guy's got one tooth in the middle of his mouth.
Yeah, I saw the video because you shared it yesterday, and I was like, look, there's no doubt some things you can't fake in life, but I think he's playing it up. I think he's A, drinking, and B, trying to be funny. Okay. I think the purpose of the video is to be funny.
Okay, hou aan. Okay, sack us we off. Sien julle trek die kamera terug. Fucking pure talk. Here, watch Jason. Now, watch
him. That's so common.
Sien julle trek sy nekkie. Like sy rinkels in 'n bos.
It's just the most hilarious.
You may know, and I mean, you should possibly consider getting him on the show, but it reminds me of a South African comedian called Rikus Dabir, who plays a character called Jonathan, and he's got a channel called Radio Raps, has a lot of stand-up, and also has a thing called Chatabiki Bal, where he talks about rugby.
Right.
And he's just so very funny and such a good dude. And that he parodies that kind of subculture or whatever, but I think those dudes are like inbred dudes of non-premium quality, also drunk and also trying to be funny.
Okay,
so it's a perfect storm of like Well, don't marry my daughter.
It's something else. It's extremely funny. It's I like what's going on in the world right now, where all these people can make fun of themselves, and they can put it out there, and there's suddenly an audience for this stuff.
And you see how like delusional some people are. Like some people will put themselves like there's a famous one of a overweight teenage kid with like acne and all the rest, like with a sword. Doing like sword carters, and he posts himself like ninja sword, like the airboxing equivalent, the shadow boxing equivalent of ninja sword, like sword carters, and then looks at the camera afterwards like, I'll kill anybody. And it's just like, dude, puberty is not being kind to you. You're not a samurai, but it's like not a piss take at all. And it's very, very funny. But then you feel bad because the person's like believes in themselves enough that they think the whole world should share in their glory.
Oh no.
Ben has just messaged me and said, the face app is the worst app ever. He's never wanted to kill himself more.
And he looks fine. Ken Bobinski looks like he's aged well under face app.
Yeah, listen, some people, I was not happy with the way.
Dude, you look fine.
No. Trust me. I did the beard version first, and then I did a version without the beard.
I look like death should have taken me, but didn't want to hang out.
Oh, no, God.
No, I mean, you know, every old is never a good look compared to very, very old is never a good look compared to very young. Nobody is better looking in their 70s than in their 30s. It's highly unlikely. So unless with massive amounts of medical intervention.
I noticed that Gord and I put up our pictures. I'm still waiting for Leanne's and for Ben and for Sia's. So come on.
Okay, black don't crack, so Sia's just going to look the same, but with gray on his sideburns.
That is a lie. And we were actually, it's funny, we were talking about it with my friends over the weekend. We were talking about, you know, some elderly black people might not look their age, but some of them look sad. Have you ever seen old people? Just look at old people walk, and they are carrying the weight of the world on them. Something it's just else. Like they're walking under a dark cloud. It's like, they look sad.
So you have golden ochre skin that radiates its own light and energy.
Carry on, moisturize
parts of your body that, for me, should never be moisturized that much.
You just accept you all look bad.
You're doing everything right. Mm-mm. You're a beautiful young man with golden brown skin, and you moisturize with expensive things. You are going to look the same when you're 80. You're just going to have little gray sideburns.
The only expensive thing will be my surgery in 30 years' time. That's what will prevent all of this.
Sia's not going to handle getting old well.
He's not going to age.
No, he's not going to handle getting
he's
old.
He's just not going to age. Watch me.
You think so?
Yep.
All right.
I'll be wearing that Borat mankini for my 50th birthday. I'm not going to.
That's just remind me to scratch that one off my list. I'm not available. All right, here's something that we need to talk about, actually. These Disney remakes, because a lot of people really like them and a lot of people hate them. So Ruth says, these Disney remakes, seriously, as adults with kids, we have to sit through all these songs again? Ugh. Why not stick to cool backstories like Maleficent? Thought that was incredible. Go behind the villains.
They're making a new Maleficent.
Yeah, but Maleficent's the backstory to Snow White.
Yeah, focusing on the being empathetic towards the
evil
scenario people. Of the queen.
Yes, because
she had a good reason for what she did. Yeah,
I think it's a little bipolar and binary to have good and bad.
Yeah,
and
there kids, is no good kids, and bad for
kids
me.
Kids need to grow up thinking that there are versions of good and bad in everyone.
Yeah, and empathy, you know, like what's she feeling? On the topic of remaking the Disney things, I've got no problem with it because you must bear in mind most of the stuff came out when we were kids. So 30 to 40 years ago, these things are coming out. And for a lot of people, they either don't know the story, young people sort of in their 20s and all the way down to kids, that have never encountered these stories or who've encountered them as being very oldie-worldy. Like, I remember watching when I was a kid, I watched The Wizard of Oz, and it just felt very old and dated, and I didn't relate to it. So the story is a great story. It's a timeless story. There's, you know, less than half of the audience, because there's always more
young
people.
Are we talking about The Lion King?
No, in general, yeah. Aladdin. Remaking all of this. All of it. The Lion King, Aladdin, The Jungle Book, The Beauty and the Beast. They're coming out with a few.
Right.
The Little Mermaid is the one with the controversy about the race issue. Let young people experience this in a new way, with their own lexicon, with their own language, and with the technology that makes it look current. And as far as the race problem or gender problem of changing characters in stories, first of all, you don't own the story. The people who own it can change it. It's not up to you. It's because you liked it as a childhood. Watch the childhood version again if it gives you warm and fuzzies. Does changing the ethnicity or gender or whatever of the character change the story? No. Is there anything about Ariel having red hair and white skin that helped her or hindered her in that story?
No.
So then fuck it. Cast whoever
in
you
fact,
want.
In fact, her dad he had a big blonde beard, I think. So I don't even think they're related.
If it matters to you.
I think her mom was sleeping around.
Fine. If it matters to you, you need to A, get a real problem, or GARP as I like to call it. B, find more interesting shit to care about. And C, stop thinking that things you liked as a kid, you authored them by liking them. Same as people who get pissed off when you share a meme without crediting them. It's like, did you make the meme? Or did you just share it before I did?
Oh, right. God, I hear you. But also there's something about touching a classic.
Then stick to the classic.
Just don't. I don't know. I don't like the remakes,
they're
actually.
They're not cancelling the classic.
As it was.
But that's fair enough. And I respect that opinion. But don't not let other people enjoy it. It's like, if you're very attached to the classic, it's not like the new one is going to suddenly replace all existing known copies of the old one. They're not cancelling the previous one.
I kind of agree. You've put up a good argument here. I wasn't really that phased because I'm not big on Disney stories anymore. I have grown up. And I think there's something a bit weird about adults who are...
And a princess always being like an object.
Yeah.
That's the prize of the story.
And like maybe you need to spend a little bit of time doing some serious introspection if you're so attached to Ariel and the way
I like them.
Just
I just
takes
don't...
It back to who you were in your childhood.
I enjoy them for the most part.
The point I was getting to is Gord makes a very good argument for why we shouldn't get upset about this stuff because it isn't a real issue.
Yeah.
And if they change... Maybe they give... Ariel a different voice or a different hairstyle or a different ethnicity.
She's a black lady
who
now.
Who cares?
Apparently one that can really act and sing. I've never heard of her before, but apparently she's a massive talent and I'm excited.
Is so bored with their life that they're going to get upset about a cartoon they fell in love with when they were a kid?
Or do you have so little of your own that you identify with that fucks your identity up and feels like someone's stealing something out of your culture, like cancelling your favorite football team? I'm like a ginormous Metallica nerd to the point where even I realize it's pathetic. Massive Manchester United fan. Those are things that I, as a self-contained entity, like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like what happens there changes who I am.
All right. Fair.
Andre says this has been your reality check brought to you by Gord. Yeah. I have to agree with you.
Thanks. Really is
thanks,
fair.
Andre.
Okay.
Guys, I'm truly unhappy that they didn't use RuPaul for Jafar in Aladdin. What a missed opportunity.
So true.
It would have been good.
And they're the same person,
that's
basically.
That's from LZ. And then someone says, what if He-Man was a black man?
Terry Crews should be He-Man. Have you not seen the meme where Terry Crews... Oh, he sent it. Terry Crews looks so beautiful as He-Man. Handsome-ass black guy with that unique Terry Crews smile and the blonde Prince Valiant hair. It's a beautiful thing.
By the way, since we spoke about this earlier, if you have the Face app, you can do a gender swap, and that can be quite frightening too.
Yeah, see, I look terrible. I look like Melissa, what's her name, the fat comedian lady. I don't know if even I, as a fat person, am allowed to call her that, but the...
Melissa McCarthy.
Of round body shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, I look just like Melissa McCarthy, and it's bloody terrifying.
What is a diversification of your portfolio and why should you do it with cryptocurrencies? I spoke to Sean Sanders earlier this week about this and more beyond Bitcoin. So give it a listen. Plus, you can find out how to invest risk-free with Revix in July. Stay up to date with all things crypto now at cliffcentral.com, on the app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Beyond Bitcoin is brought to you by Revix, which is a revolutionary new cryptocurrency investment platform, making it safe and easy for you to invest in cryptocurrencies. And they have this risk-free offer, which is on only for July. Means if you put in $5,000 now, they will guarantee that the minimum you'll get back out if you decide to can it after a month is $5,000. If you stay in, the profits are yours if it goes really well.
You can do it with less money than $5,000, I'm assuming.
I think you can do, this is their offer for this risk-free offer, but you can do it for less, obviously, as well.
Oh, so $5,000 is the deal.
Is the risk-free
deal.
Okay,
nice.
Yeah.
It's a very good deal.
If you go with less than that, then you can try. Just play around on it. It's probably the best way to go because you've got this diversification. You've got an index to play with. That's Revix. You can find out more by going to cliffcentral.com. Now, we've been talking a little bit this morning. I started off the show this morning with a bit of a tribute to Johnny Clegg, and we've got a few of his friends on. We'll talk about his life, and we'll play an interview at 8 o'clock. The last time I spoke to Johnny, which was not that long ago. But Zolani Mahola is on the line. As we celebrate the great legacy of Johnny Clegg this morning, we're thinking about his friends and a fund that was created in his honor to help alleviate the education crisis in South Africa. You may remember, back in December 2018, over 50 prominent artists came together to re-record one of Johnny's classics, The Crossing, and all the proceeds from the downloads of that special version were sent towards that fund.
What an amazing performance and video to watch that is.
Extraordinary. And we thought to have a few of these artists in this morning on what the great Johnny Clegg has meant to them. First up, obviously, as a musician, and then as a friend. And Zolani Maholazan, she's called him one of the true fathers of the nation. Zolani, a very sad morning. How are you this morning?
Hey, Gareth. Yeah, it is sad. Yeah, very sad.
I mean, it's, you know, we kind of knew that Johnny wasn't going to last forever. None of us ever do.
Yes.
But how are you feeling this morning, and what are your abiding memories? I mean, a lot of people are paying tributes, and I thought it would probably be best to speak to the people who really knew him and worked with him as you did.
Yeah, it's very hard to quantify what I feel. In a lot of ways, I feel like the death of Johnny Clegg marks the end of so many things. You know, when I was growing up, he was such a radically unusual figure for somebody to come from, you know, from the white side,
yeah.
You know, and come and cross the great divide. It was just completely unheard of, certainly in popular culture. So he's been a massive figure, you know, and he's been somebody who I feel like I take a direct sort of lineage from people like him, who are people who have embraced the different identities. You know, the schizophrenic South African sort of said, "This is me. You know, I am all of these things. I am all of you. I identify." So for me, like I feel like at once his passing is very, very sad and beyond words that I can say, but it's a definite feeling like, you pick it up. You pick up that mantle. I pick up that mantle again. It's like a reaffirmation of what I stand for myself.
Yeah, I think it's beautiful that you kind of claim some of that lineage in your own music. And what you guys do and what you and Freshly Ground get right is that you've also kind of taken on this ability to create an authentic South African sound that people all over the world can love, but that South Africans feel.
Yeah.
You know, we feel it deep in our bones. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Zolani, I know you've got to take the kids to school. These are the practical things. Everybody thinks musicians don't get to do these things. But what was it like doing the crossing? Because I'm sure that was very emotional for all of you.
Yeah, it was amazing to do the crossing. I was thinking about it today, actually. I was thinking about it this morning when I woke up, how all of those artists, Abigail, you know, Kubeka, anyone, none of the artists that were asked said no. You know, it was like just an immediate yes. And that is such a... I mean, what I mean is to do the song in the first place and then to come to Cape Town and shoot the video. It was just such an, of course, you know, because he is that much of a central figure in our South African narrative. So for us to pay tribute to him in doing that song, and then for the proceeds to be going towards the betterment of this country that he stands for, that we all stand for, was just an absolute yes. And we all still feel very emotional on it. You know, we're all on this massive WhatsApp group, you know, all of the artists that did the crossing, and we all just, all these outpourings of grief and love for him.
Yeah, it must have been also quite special to be able to pay tribute to the guy while he was still around, because so many artists we say goodbye to, and then we have to pay tribute to them.
Absolutely, Gareth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Completely. No, you know, I mean, just in closing, I want to actually, really actually pay tribute to him and say he's meant a great deal for me in my life, for this country, for people all over the bloody world. I feel like he's been so unique, just like everyone is, just like all of us are. And for me, the takeaway is to completely be yourself, you know, it's just to completely take on that mantle of being yourself and and being a light to the world. I think we all can do that, and I say thank you very much to Johnny Clegg for what he's done.
Well, thank you, Zolani. It's good to talk to you again, and we'll speak soon, get you in here on much happier terms. The friendsofjohnnyclegg.co.za, friendsofjohnnyclegg.co.za for more info or to contribute even now to a very good cause. Gord just reminded me, Dave Matthews actually agreed to do.
Well, yeah, she just mentioned that everybody was eager and no one needed convincing. Dave Matthews is notoriously, I mean, he's one of the biggest stars in the world in his genre.
Sure.
He's notoriously difficult to get a hold of. He, to my knowledge, has never sort of denounced South Africa, but he doesn't get very involved here. And one of the favorite moments for me in that song is you see a moment of him obviously sitting in a studio, presumably a home studio, and just singing his line over the internet. You know, Dave Matthews, I don't want to presume he's egotistical or anything like that. It's just he's a big deal. And he, for him, obviously, he still sees himself as, you know, a kind of son of Johnny, like everybody does.
Absolutely. Majozi is a South African musician from Durban. Debut single, Universal, was Fire. It was a major pop radio hit, and his feel-good follow-up single, Darling, endeared Majozi to the hearts and souls of so many fans. He released his debut full-length album, iTunes Top 3, Fire, which in March 2016 went to number one. And Majozi says his best memory of Johnny was opening up for him once in Durban, and the crowd erupted when he began singing Impi. Majozi, nice to speak to you. It's very kind of you to find some time this morning. How are you feeling?
Yeah, man, just still a bit taken aback by the news yesterday. But you know, it's just beautiful to see people appreciate him doing their posts on Facebook and Instagram and just sending their condolences to the family. It just shows you like what an important like fabric of society or South Africa Johnny Clegg was, man. So yeah.
What's kind of the most obvious and abiding memory you have of the last time you saw him, maybe, or something that he said to you or any of that stuff that you could share with us?
He wasn't there. So, when we did that tribute for, sure. The Crossing, and we sang, just to see the caliber of musicians that he brought in the room, because it was a surprise for him, you know, having everyone do those tributes. And, it's like people came from everywhere. And I've never seen anything like that where they managed to get everyone's schedules right and fly everyone in from Joburg and wherever else everyone was coming from. But I think just people wanted to be involved in something that Johnny had touched, you know. And eventually we got to see a video of his face when he was surprised with the actual video and the song. And yeah, man, it was just like a surreal moment for me to be involved in something like that.
And you did once, you did once open a concert up. You were like the support act before he came on, right?
Yes. That was another memory. Sorry. I was just like opening. This is pretty much just after he had his surgery, because originally the gig was supposed to be like 2 months before, but they had to push it because he had his surgery, and like a champion, he came back and he went straight into work again. And I remember literally it was on a nice field. People were sitting down having a good time. You know, people love Johnny Clegg's music. And then he started with Impi and the crowd just erupted. Like people stood up, and it just showed me the power of music, showed me the power of his music, how it just translates across barriers, across languages, all those type of things. And it was just, everyone was united when he started singing that song, and it was a very special moment for me.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for your tribute this morning. It's good to talk to you. And rest in peace, Johnny. I mean, this is just a, you know, very sad day for South African music, but also for South Africa. There are a lot of people who just loved what he represented. Gord was saying earlier, yeah, he's an anthropologist. He was a lot of things. And I heard the most beautiful tribute from Karen Zoid. Can I read this to you quickly?
Sure.
This is absolutely
And I mean, she's, again, a big deal.
She's a big deal. Listen to this. She said, it's quite long, but I'll go with it. I lift my voice with a chorus. To me, he was also a guiding light, a star. To me, he was also a sound mind, a hero. To me, he was also a humble musician, a friend who visited me at my house and rode bicycles with me on the promenade. All morning long, this past December, we pretended to be in a bike gang. The best day ever. We reminisced about the BMX and rally bicycles that we played on in the streets as children, and we shared stories of crazy adventures in music and life. We sat in a row on the curb and ate ice cream, Jesse, Johnny, Karen, and Ben. It felt like we were all about 9 years old, but even Ben's already 12. Die Leven is kort en rof. To truly live is to love, is to suffer, is to rejoice, is to yearn. Humanity, the fragile prize, the beautiful life teaching of Johnny Clegg. We are here to love and support each other. That's it. Rebel, intellectual boy sage, the fearless adventurer to the end. Surviving doesn't mean you're strong, but you learn things through disasters. Johnny Clegg was born a fatherless little boy. He was raised by a Jewish mother and an Afrikaner stepfather. Different. Unhappy camper at school. The teenager was running wild in the streets of Joburg. He once even cycled to Ermelo without telling his mother. Too white to be black and too black to be white. Never grey. Peter Pan follows the music that comes from deep down underground in the mines. The fighter learns how to dance. The dancer learns how to sing. The singer learns how to write. The writer learns how to speak. The speaker learns how to listen. The listener thinks for himself. It started by listening to you, Johnny, and it ends by listening to you, she says. You have to wash with a crocodile in the river. You have to swim with the sharks in the sea. You have to live with a crooked politician. Trust those things that you can never see. Isn't that beautiful?
Sure, that's lovely. that's really beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, just another quick one is that a lot of people may not realize that he's massive in France.
You're
and
huge.
Is known as Le Zulu Blanc, the White Zulu.
That's correct.
He famously once ruined a Michael Jackson concert by having a concert at the same time, and it was like one of the worst attended Michael Jackson concerts ever. And my sister-in-law is French, and she just posted something from Frenchies Living in South Africa, which is a Facebook group for French people obviously living in South Africa, and they have posted like a... We, the French people, are deeply saddened. And that just immediately gives you a bit of perspective. Like being a white Zulu South African, fundamentally and iconically South African, but actually also massive in France. And he released on one of his latter albums a song with English, French, and Zulu. And he said, to his knowledge, it was the only song that's a major release song that's ever been like that.
Well, he died at 66 on the afternoon of the 16th of July 2019 at his family home in Joburg, South Africa. He was born in England, moved to Johannesburg with his Rhodesian mother when he was 6 years old. His exposure to Zulu migrant workers during his adolescence introduced him to the culture and the music, and his involvement with black musicians saw him arrested a few times during apartheid. At the age of 17, together with Sipho Ngunu, they started the first band called Jaluka. At the age of 33, during the height of apartheid, he partnered with Dudu Zulu to form a second interracial band, which was called Savuka. He also recorded several solo albums, enjoyed international success, selling out concerts just about everywhere he performed. Apart from lecturing at universities, he studied anthropology, combined his studies with music. He was awarded a number of local and international awards for his contribution to music and society. And the French government in 1991 made him an Art and Letters Knight. In 2015, he was made an officer of the Order of the British Empire. In 2012, he received the Order of Ikhamanga from the South African government. He was awarded with a number of honorary doctorates by the universities of Witwatersrand, KwaZulu-Natal, Dartmouth College, and the City University of New York. He also authored and published the book Ukubuyisa Isidubu in 1981 and presented papers on the music of Zulu immigrant workers in Johannesburg at the Grahamstown International Library of African Music. He was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer back in 2015, but despite fighting cancer, he continued to tour and perform around the world to pay homage to his fans worldwide. He survived by his wife of 31, Jenny, their two sons, Jesse and Jaron, and the family will be holding a private funeral service, and that's not open to the public. There will be a service for the public to pay their respects, and the details of that will be announced in due course. So, according to a documentary that was about to be released, he was in the process of writing some kind of autobiography. He was about 150 pages in, and he said it was halfway done. He had to wait at times because he's done interviews with his old bandmates and sometimes they're not in the country. The record company that released him in 1983 doesn't exist anymore, but the owner is still there and we keep in contact. So he said he'd have to go back to England to interview him and a few of the people who were involved in some very torturous moments. Whether we'll get that biography or not, I don't know, but I don't think he has to write it. I think there are enough of us to write it for him. And here is The Crossing, which is the song that Karin Zoid and Zolani and all of these people we've referenced so far were all involved in. It was in 2016. Take a listen to this. Jesse Clegg leads them, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of Johnny's friends got together, performed
Jack
one of his
Parrow, Ross Learmonth,
best songs. There's plenty. I'll go through the names.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You can just hear it. It was a very, very special moment, and they got together and did this song. Kind of for Johnny, but it was for a good cause as well. So here it is. All of them together in one room. Unbelievable. Wow. That's quite something. Yeah. You know?
That's an amazing... Everything about that's amazing. I mean, it was amazing before the context of his passing. It's more amazing now.
Look, I mean, at the time I played it, I got teary.
Yeah,
I got
me
teary
too.
Again now. Jack Parrow is one of the people who was involved in that too, and he's on the line, and we thought it would be... hang on. We're busy calling him still. Hey, Jack. How's it, man? Jack?
Hello.
Yes, Gareth.
I can hear you.
How are you doing, bro?
Good in yourself, bro.
Good, 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 good. Obviously, everybody's kind of reeling a little bit from what was we knew was coming, but Johnny Clegg, I mean, what an unbelievable human being. What a great icon. You got to work with him on that that collaboration we just played now, The Crossing. But I'm sure you have some words and you have your own experiences and memories with Johnny that you want to share this morning.
Yeah, I mean, I think anyone in like that's met him or knows him or has heard, even just heard his music, he is an amazing human being. And I think I really I think in the years when there was a lot of turmoil in South Africa and stuff, he was one of the first people to kind of, or one of the many people to kind of really cross boundaries and open boundaries to people of all colors and all traits and stuff. And so I have so much respect for him just from that, just above even the amazing music that he made. I mean, the amount of songs that he has that has like changed South Africa is amazing. I mean, everything from just like silly things like that Spirit of the Great Art ad for a beer ad was like every time I hear that song, I think of that in such a massive, it's such a, like just songs that have really become part of South Africa without us knowing, like almost like side anthems of the country, which is amazing, yeah.
Well, yeah, sorry, Gord, go ahead.
Sorry, hi you, Jack, it's Gordy. The Springboks have been The Springboks have been coming out to MP for, I actually spoke to one of the guys at Sorry yesterday, and I don't want to get the number wrong, but I think 14 or 16 years.
Yeah.
That's our national rugby team, and the tough guys of the country have been coming out to MP for a generation, basically. So it's like you say, his music's attached to so many things, those ads, so much of your growing up and childhood.
Did you get to spend any time with him? Because I mean, I've had some fascinating conversations with you. You know that it doesn't always have to be about music. And Johnny had these stories. Man, he could tell stories. You got him started. You'd be sitting around a fire all night.
Yeah, I unfortunately didn't have the chance to actually sit around fires with him, but I had the honor of meeting him at a show. And obviously when we did the song as well, I've spent a lot of time with Jesse as well, and just hearing stories about how what an amazing human being he obviously is. And I think really just this, like since last night, I've been on obviously social media and just seeing people post and all the people that have such amazing stories about him and such amazing, like even though maybe they haven't met him or they haven't spent time with him, they just how he's changed their life. I read a Sureshini posted an amazing a cool comment about it as well, and how when she was young, how he felt like he gave her a sense of belonging in our country, and it's just so cool. I really got goosebumps when I started like just going through what everyone's been saying, and it's really just amazing. And I think, yeah, he even though he's passed away, he'll live in the history of South Africa and the world forever. I think he's really a saint and an icon that will never die.
Well, I'm grateful for you making some time for us this morning, Jack. It's always good to talk to you, dude. And let's hope the next time I see you, it's under less sad circumstances. I see loads of really hilarious stuff on your social media, and it's always nice to connect with you and kind of catch up. So we must do that again soon.
Definitely. I'll let you know. I'll come hang out in the studio again.
Awesome, man. Be good.
Lekker. Have a good day.
Cheers. Cool. There's the great Jack Parrow and lots of other people. I mean, we could have called pretty much anyone in South African music and they would have had something really lovely to say about him.
I mean, I think literally almost anybody. Yeah. Like, you'd have to be a serious outlier, especially as a South African musician, but even just as a South African, to have something nasty to say
about
it.
You'd have to be a serious douchebag.
Yeah, you'd have to be a real outlier, man.
All right, we've been talking about Savings Month with Coronation the last couple of weeks, and we're not going to stop because July is the time where you can actually take note of these things. I was driving down the Rivoni Road just yesterday on the way back to the studio, and I saw a savings thing. You know, they always put up these big billboards saying you can save 70% if you buy the, and it's stuff you don't need, which is something we addressed just the other day. Also then saw the Coronation ads too, which is interesting. So it's primed my mind. You know how if you're aware of something,
Bader-Meinhof complex.
Thank you very much. That's all you
That's
see.
That's something similar to Jesse being scheduled for today.
Yeah.
Not Rick, ish. Bader-Meinhof is when you think about something and you see it all the time. Or you find out about, you think about something that you don't always think about and you suddenly see it everywhere. Or you learn a new thing that you didn't know about at all and then you suddenly see it everywhere.
Well, that's what's happening to me. And if it happens to you, that means that Savings Month is starting to make some kind of impact on you. And it can only have positive results if you're aware of it. National Savings Month. We spoke about this just the other day, and Coronation Personal Investment Specialist Christo Linnefelt is with me. Thanks for being here, Christo. Last week we talked about Coronation helping consumers to look beyond the seen and unseen when it comes to saving and spending. And you actually gave us some very good tricks and tips that we as consumers often fall for when we, you know, think about whether we're going to buy something or not.
Hey, Gareth. It's nice to be back. It's amazing once we all become aware of those little pitfalls, those tricks that the marketing guys are trying to pull over our eyes, that all of a sudden you think twice, you're a bit more aware, and hopefully in the process we all can save ourselves a little bit of money.
Yeah, it's pretty upsetting to think about how we're manipulated into spending money we don't have or spending money that we do have on things we don't need.
Yeah.
And that just shows you how clever advertising is.
Yeah, so again, some of that stuff you probably can buy or you do need to some extent. But as long as you can just seize that control, feel like you are in control of that decision yourself, then hopefully over time you can turn some of those savings into investments.
Now, today I wanted to address something that I'm absolutely a massive fan of. I love tidying up and sorting out my life. And you can sort out and tidy up your life financially by going through a couple of very simple exercises. And once you've done these, then it's sorted.
Yep.
And you end up finding that you could save quite a lot of money and time and frustration.
Yeah. And, you know, at first it could be daunting to pretty much face up to your financial decisions. It could be uncomfortable. But, you know, it can pay off. And what we suggest some investors do is just a bit of a financial audit, call it that, on yourself. Take your bank statements, look through it, see what you spend money on. And I want to be very clear, Gareth, we're not trying to tell investors or listeners to not buy their morning cappuccino. And if they save that money they would have spent on a cappuccino a day, then effectively they'll retire gazillionaires by the age of 50. That's not the point here.
No,
go and spend money.
You don't want people to stop living.
Correct. Yeah. Go and spend money on what you really value. But just look out for those things where it effectively just leaks. I think of it as leaking out of my bank account. And it happens to all of us.
I mean, we all have some debit order that we're not sure what it is. And you go in and you look and there's like 250 Rand coming off every month for something, some magazine or some website you subscribed to in, I don't know, 2009, and it's still coming off, right? And you don't even know what that is anymore.
Yeah, so that's a great tip, is go and check those debit orders. And debit orders are, they are beautiful things because they take all of the inertia out of, you know, transactions. So if you, I'm terrible at this, if I need to pay my friend money via ETF, I just, the process of going through it can be tough. So if I can just somehow set up a debit order to him, that'll be so much easier. So that stuff works if you need to pay off debt or you need to save into something or invest into something. But it becomes really tricky when you are almost auto signed up. And we all have those, right? We've signed up for services over time, and then they just kind of dwindle in the background.
Well, I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about. I signed up for Apple Music a long time ago. Then I signed up for Spotify. Then I signed up for YouTube Music. And I think they're all still running, which is ridiculous. I only need one of them. They've all got the same stuff.
Yeah, but now you can listen to Rihanna on, from three different sources. That's great.
Yeah, Rihanna's doing great out of this. I'm not so much.
So I mean, I also have embarrassing stories. To this day, I still effectively pay double insurance on my cell phone. And I know it. I just need to find the time and the energy to sit down and cancel it.
Yeah.
It's so silly. So hopefully by the time we chat next week, I would have canceled it. I'm going to force myself to do it.
All right. Now, what about these people who store their credit card details online? Now, this is very dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, again, convenience is beautiful. I'm sure some of the internet security guys would have other things to say about it, but it is very convenient. But the problem is, you know, it also, again, takes all of the inertia out of the process. So I know people, they won't be named, where one of their guilty pleasures is effectively drunk shopping. You know, so just like you drunk dial when you get home after a tough night, they would jump onto whatever popular online shopping site and just start to buy things. And when the package arrives on Tuesday, Wednesday, it's a bit of a surprise. They don't even know what they bought. But that's how easy it has become to spend your money.
And also when you see that paper bill, it gives you that sick feeling. When you see it on a screen, you think, this is temporary.
It's just numbers. Yeah.
It's not a big deal. All right. People assume expensive means that you're getting quality, and that's not always true either.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a difficult one because my mom always taught me, goedkoop koop is duur koop.
Mm-hmm. In other words, if you buy it cheap and you think you're getting a great deal, you'll be replacing that with three more things over the course of time that you might have got one good thing.
Yeah. So, you know, using South Africa's favorite winter fashion item, the puffer jacket, as an example. You know, you can either go and buy it at Mr. Price, I suppose, or you can buy a K-Wear one, or you can go and buy the really top-end Patagonia one. You're probably good somewhere in the middle. You don't need to go for the absolute premium brand, but I would also just stick with my mom's advice, also don't go for the cheapest. But it's about understanding what brand premium you are paying for certain items and if there's really additional value to be had.
We'll be sure to mention your mom in the credits for her good financial advice in this episode. Yeah. All right. People also get on this upgrade train.
Yep.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, we all know the Apple iPhone cycles are just a little bit shorter than our cell phone contract cycles. So there's always an urgency for certain people to want to upgrade their contracts just so that they can have the latest. And it's not just cell phones, right? It's all sorts of tech. It's all sorts of gadgets. It's even your car. You know, so how many times do you think, and it's one of those very weird things where as soon as your car runs out of a maintenance plan or gets to the end, you start to use it as an excuse, right? Oh, I need to get rid of the car. It's running out of maintenance plan, and everyone kind of agrees, yes, that's a good idea. Okay, yeah. And effectively, what you're just doing is you're getting stuck into that upgrade cycle. Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, there are other ways that you can cut down on spending. I mean, I've cleaned out stuff out of my house, and then you find out that you've got a whole lot of duplicate stuff, whether it's technology. I mean, a lot of people have like 2-3 iPads or phones or things lying around. Those could be sold. You can go and trade them in. There's stuff like that that you can do to save yourself money too, right?
Yep. Whatever you can, just make sure that you don't go and spend that money again because that kind of defeats the object. It's about rationalizing your spending patterns. Again, taking control of the decision making and being aware of the seen versus the unseen. And then hopefully once you have some money, excess money that you've not spent, and putting that to good work. In other words, investing that for the long term.
Well, National Savings Month is a good time to be reminded of how we can be more careful about what we spend our money on. And Christo is obviously helping us all to come to terms with that at this stage. Always good to get this advice and useful to put it into action. Also makes you feel really good when you feel like you've got control of your finances.
Yep.
You know, you're not being manipulated. You're not being, you can't blame anyone else also when it goes wrong, which is probably a good thing. Choose not to spend today. Reap the benefits of delayed gratification by putting that money into savings or an investment with a bank or an asset manager like Coronation. A good option is investing in a Coronation Unit Trust Fund, which is the simplest, most cost-effective way for you to invest with Coronation. Now, that gives you exposure to a basket of different financial assets like shares, bonds, listed property, and you do need all of them.
Yeah, a nice little balance would be good for you.
And this is what they call diversification.
That's right.
Right. All you need to start investing with Coronation today is as little as 500 Rand a month. So give them a call or visit coronation.com. I hope that you're encouraged to put away some extra money that you can for the long term. It'll make a huge difference. It really is worth giving up that impulse or convenience purchase for long-term financial security. Next week, Christo will be back to tell us how we can deal with the fear of missing out, FOMO, or, you know, the things that most people feel that that they just can't resist. How you can replace that with JOMO. I've learned to do that in one or two cases. JOMO is the joy of missing out. That's when it comes to saving.
With the electronic nappy changer and built-in sleep monitor, the new Zaza 3.0 baby stroller is here.
Excessive features added to justify the equally excessive price tag.
Zaza strollers are built in Sweden using only aerospace-grade materials because only the best will do.
When a regular stroller will do exactly the same job.
It's easy to get tempted into unnecessary spending. That's why Coronation is encouraging South Africans to save instead this National Savings Month. To invest, talk to your financial advisor. Coronation. Trust is earned. Coronation is an authorized FSP.
This is CliffCentral.com.